Hello, and welcome to the Comic Book Rundown. I wanted to jump in here real quick and give you guys a heads up. When I recorded this, it was a little colder, so I had a heater going to warm the place up. And the heater picks up on audio, so sorry about that. It lasts like 2 minutes, and then we figure it out. So, sorry. All right, enjoy the episode.
Welcome to the Comic Book Rundown, the podcast that talks about comic book story arcs. I'm your host, Joe, and with me today is my friend Pete.
Hello.
Pete, I asked him to come on because he was interested in comics. You've had some history, if you won't mind telling your history and how your comic book knowledge.
It's not nearly as much as some, but I would say when I was a young teenager, for me, it was getting a start with cartoons that were on TV, like in the 90s, the X-Men and Spider-Man and what Marvel was trying to do then. And so that piqued my interest, and I found myself wandering down the block to a local comic book store and trying to peek through the pages of things and see, you know, what is this something I want? It was definitely a different environment that I was not used to. And so I directly went to the Spider-Man section, and I mean, being such a layman, I didn't realize that all the box comics were
sold
way past issues, and stories would end, and then I'd be like, why can't I finish this? And then I realized years down the road, but those were not even being published recently.
Yeah.
So, but then that just kind of kept my interest over time, and I haven't really delved into any specific storyline, but I do enjoy it, and, you know, to be able to sit down and talk about stuff and look at it from different points of view about things is just, it intrigued me, so.
Well, I know you and I like to talk about the movies coming out. And we deep dive in that a lot.
Yeah.
And, because those are, I mean, the Marvel movies have been good.
Yes.
They've all been pretty darn good so far. With the exception of a couple, but, you know. So today, we are talking about some Thor comics. Specifically, the arc is called To Wake the Mangog. This was in The Mighty Thor issues 154 to 157. That was published in 1968. The writer is Stan Lee. Art by Jack Kirby. The inks were by Vince Carletta. And then lettering was by Artie Simic and Sam Rosen. I know that both Simic and Rosen, they worked with Stan Lee for quite some time on multiple books. And they, I gotta commend them. Because reading through this and just the Norse talk, the
language
was wow. There were some words in here that I actually had to look up because I didn't know what they meant. So, Thor 154 starts out with what looks to be like Thor and Loki had just got done having some sort of fight. I believe Odin stopped Thor from, I guess, delivering some final blow. I'm not entirely sure.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't look too deep into previous issues, just didn't have time this week, and that was all my fault.
Right.
But so he listens to Odin, and he goes to the hospital where Lady Sif is. Apparently, the battle that him and Loki had done had seriously hurt Sif, and she is now, you know, indisposed, all bandaged up. It took me, so in this panel here, Thor makes a comment about Donald Blake. Completely forgot that Donald Blake was his alter ego for a time.
Thor's?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Actually, I don't think you got past this in the issues, but the issue 158 actually has a reprint of the first Thor from Tales of Astonishment or whatever.
Okay.
Which is pretty awesome. I'll probably go back and read that at some point because it was just kind of interesting. And it basically entails how Odin sent Thor down to Earth in the guise of Donald Blake, and he just thought he was Donald Blake, and then he didn't realize that he actually was Thor the entire time.
Okay.
So, but this is also after this story takes place after he has already had a relationship with Jane Foster. Him and Jane were going to get married, but she did not pass some Asgardian test. And so she got sent back to Earth, and then Thor moved on, I don't know exactly how quick, to Lady Sif. But so as he is looking over the medical reports of Sif, Hela, the goddess of death, pops in. And, I mean, this is no Cate Blanchett, but, you know, still looks awesome. I will say one thing for Jack Kirby. He definitely knew how to draw his women, because they're all pretty darn attractive. When the men in this, there's, I got in my notes later on for Thor with a derpy face.
Really?
He just has looked so funky. It's great. But she is trying to convince him to basically come to Valhalla, you know, where all of the dead warriors go. And he's like, no, I have to, he basically says, I have to stay here. I have to protect this world. And he doesn't want anything to do with the visions, even though the warriors are literally just standing there. Hey, come join us. We're going to go fight the eternal fight. It's like, you can lead us and then you'd fit right in. And he's like, no, I can't. So he's just done with Hela. He just doesn't want anything to do with her right there. We then go over to the next panels, where the rock troll, Ulic, who is, I would definitely say is a, just looking at him, he is a prototype for Darkseid's son, Kalibak, in DC line. Ulic came first.
Right.
Ulic was a Jack Kirby creation.
Okay.
Kalibak was a Jack Kirby creation. But, like, just looking at him, I'm like, holy crap, he looks so familiar.
The drawing style?
Yeah. Well yes, but just his form and
oh.
and how he is. Like, that face right here and his the way his hair is maneuvered, which is all indicative to the drawing style. But just he looks like, you know, because when Kirby went to DC, he created the fourth world, which is Darkseid, the new gods, all of Apocalypse. And, yeah, it was just amazing. But we see Ulic, he happens upon the lost Odin cave. And in there we see a sign that says, let no living being disturb what lies within. Ulic thinks it's some, has to be some powerful being.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like, well, I'm gonna use this to attack Asgard and make them pay for what they did to me. And as he busts open this protective barrier, this giant door, we see the Mangog. And it's this hulking creature. Like, okay, so Ulic, I would say he's probably about, I don't know, 7 feet tall. You know, Thor's about 6'3", 6'4", 6'5", whatever. Ulic towers over him. The Mangog is easily 9 feet tall. He's just this giant hulking monster of a beast. With what looks like the head of an ox,
mm-hmm.
And then the body of a like ice giant almost, but and then these weird manacle hands. I don't know the best way I can describe it.
Right,
but he also got that tail, powerful tail of his, and he's straight up. He's like he's gonna destroy. He just wants to destroy everything. His one goal is to kill everything.
Right, and from what I can see there, it looks like the did you say it's a troll? It's
Yeah, he is. A troll. He's a rock troll.
Was thinking that they're gonna go and just get revenge on Asgard.
Well, his goal was to use him as his
slave. Right, right. And this Mangog says, "No, I'm going to kill everything."
Mm-hmm. So we go back to the Earth realm, Midgard. They don't actually say Midgard here, but we go back to the Earth here, and we see Thor. He changes to that of Donald Blake. And this time he uses it, his hammer, when he strikes it on the ground, it changes him, and then his hammer becomes a cane.
Kind of like the umbrella in Ragnarok.
Crap, I know this. Oh, yeah, yes! Oh, I totally forgot about that. Gosh, that was a good movie.
So he becomes a doctor.
Yes. What I love is that this nurse, who does not get a name at all, because she appears here, and then, like, I think a couple panels next issue.
Right.
But she's like, oh, I didn't know you were here. a doctor. Like, I've been on duty right outside all night, and I could have sworn no one entered this room. And Blake is like, what? But obviously, it would seem you're mistaken. It's like, huh, okay. It's like, give Lady some respect there, bud. But Lady Sif, well, I keep calling her Lady Sif. It's actually just Sif.
Sif?
Sif, S-I-F. Like, I keep calling her Lady Sif, but it's just literally just Sif. I think the Lady Sif part became something I saw online.
And oh, okay.
Just kind of kept doing that. But she wakes up because she hears Thor through Donald Blake, and she's just, because they are in a relationship, she is super happy that he's alive. And he basically tells her, hey, you know, you just, my professional opinion, you need to rest. You're definitely not feeling good. You still have to get your strength back. And so as she gets him back, or as he gets her back down to relaxing, he goes back off to look for Loki. Which is what I find funny, is because he left Loki.
Right, they were standing there.
Together, first page. Like, he leaves him to go to Sif, and then he's like, all right, I need to go find Loki, because he is a problem. Why don't you just take care of him right there, then and there, even though I know Odin said not to.
Right.
But, or stopped him from doing that. But it's just like, you could have held on to him or something. But as it's going on, Loki, he's apparently invisible to everybody, as he calls it, a spatial invisibility, which, okay.
It's one of my favorite things about comics in general, especially the original stuff, is when they, what's it called? They make a point to really pound home the obvious.
Yes.
To describe what, it's like, I'm not entirely sure what's going on in this panel, so we have to make sure we say it.
Well, and I, reading, that's one thing I've been noticing, reading a lot of these 68, 69, 70 storylines, mainly Marvel, because that's what I'm hitting on at the moment.
Right.
They do that. Like, everybody is, their dialogue is always, becomes almost a monologue. Like, it's all just
exposition.
Yeah. And that's fine. Because I know the writing style back then is completely different to what we have now.
Right.
Just evolution on the writing style, which is fine. But, and this is what I'm also referring to with Kirby's art. Like, he looks like a horse face.
The proportions.
Yeah, like, it's, but yes, you're, the exposition and just the way that their writing style, it everything you know, it says it right here. Right. Like, and the pictures are great, although I do have some stuff we'll go into when we get more into Mangog later in the fights. But yeah, it's just like this one, you got Loki threatening like the mortals. Like, be gone, puny mortals. I have had, oh, this is one of the words that I didn't know that I had to look up, enow, which means enough. So it's just the language. Yeah, he's like, I have had enow of thy witless babbling and startled glances. Which is fair, because he literally just, he was invisible, and then he popped up in the middle of a crowd.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd be a little scared too. But so while Thor is looking for Loki, Loki decides he's going to go back to Asgard, because he's done on Midgard. He doesn't need to worry about that anymore. But when he gets there, he sees that the troops are basically routed. The private guard is charging out for combat. And he has no idea what exactly is going on.
Right.
I'm just pointing out his face, facial expression. This is the derpy looks. Like, is, I love Jack Kirby. His art is amazing. But some of his pictures, man.
I think that it changed in the style of how artists worked then, too, is they were actually working on panels the size of the print. Whereas, like, today they work on panels that, like, they'll draw a panel.
Yes.
That'll be, like, this big, and we digitally will shrink it down.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
To fit on the page.
Okay.
So, like, he might have drawn this thing in this square, that gotcha. Size.
And he has to work with what he has.
right.
Yeah. Which, actually, no, you are correct, because I do remember at some cons, you can buy original pages.
Yeah.
You know, a couple grand, but.
Yeah. Or the page itself, they'll make the page.
Yeah, it's black
really,
and white.
Really
in the,
big.
Yeah.
Right.
But so he gets back to to Asgard, and he finds out that Odin has just begun his Odin sleep. And he sees this as a great opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all right, now I can take the throne. Thor's not around. No one can stop me. I'm next in line, and in Asgard needs to have a king. So
right.
Here I go. I'm going to rule. And so as this is going on, Thor sees this mugging going on, and he decides to stop it. What I love about this is that this mugger, which this gun he has, looks nothing like a pistol. Looks something like from Hydra.
Mm-hmm.
But he fires at Thor. Thor blocks it with his hammer. And then the mugger behind Thor decides, hey, I know we'll help. I'm going to go tackle him mm-hmm. while you shoot him again.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you're not really thinking that one through,
right.
dude. So one of the muggers tries to get away. Thor's like, not going to happen. Throws a meow meow at him. Because everything is Mjolnir is called meow meow now, thanks to Kat Dennings. Cops come, get the muggers, no big deal. And then as he's... Now, mind you, he flew into these muggers.
Right.
But then he just decides to walk away. And as he's walking, he runs into some hippies. That, because he asks them if they know where this evil incarnate is at. And they make some reference to the establishment. And
oh, okay.
Whatever. And he challenges them to pick up the hammer, or Mjolnir. And all three of them try, and they can't. And, you know, Thor just lifts it up handily like it's no big deal. Basically, I don't want to say swats them, but just gets rid of them. It's like, you guys have no... You're not helping out at all. Be gone. And so he's just kind of trying to figure out exactly what's going on, where Loki's at, and maybe he's hoping to hear something from Odin. As that's happening, we run over, or we... go over to Carnilla, the queen of the Norns, I believe is who she is.
Okay.
And Baldur, who is... Oh, yeah, queen of the North right there. Baldur, who is another warrior of Asgard. Carnilla is trying to entice Baldur to stay with him, or stay with her. And he's like, no, I kind of got to get back to my duty.
Even though, left his post.
Well, I mean, I think he was on a quest. Another podcast I listen to, Myths and Legends,
mm-hmm.
They talk about a lot of Norse mythology, and they did a couple episodes on Baldur, and he was pretty awesome. I can't remember all of it off the top of my head, because that's like 100-some episodes, and a lot, but it's great. But as he is denying Carnilla, she shows him the Legion of the Lost, which apparently has been missing from Asgard for some time. And she basically threatens him, like, if you don't stay, I'm going to force these guys to attack you and kill you. And he's like, well, guess I'm fighting.
Okay.
And then we get to the very end of the book here, and we got Mangog, who literally is using Olic to bash his way out of the cave. And once he releases Olic, he just runs off. And Mangog's like, all right, well... Now I'm going to bring about Ragnarok and kill everybody. And then we see Thor standing on a mountain or on a building top waiting for Odin to summon him.
But Odin's asleep.
Odin's asleep. I think he's going to be waiting there for a while.
Thank you for listening to the Comic Book Rundown. If you'd like to get a hold of us, you can find us on Twitter at Comic Rundown, on Instagram at Comic Book Rundown, or you can email us at comicbookrundown@gmail.com.